Let's keep our Bibles open to Psalm 65, which we have just read. And this psalm here is a psalm of remembrance, a psalm of celebration, a psalm of worship, a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 65 is sung by the children of Israel. It's sung in a time when they returned from war with victory. And they sing this psalm to praise the Lord for the victory that He has won for them. This psalm is also a psalm sung in a time of harvest, when the Lord blessed them with a good harvest. They sing this psalm to praise the Lord. And surely at this time, since this is Chinese New Year Day, Chinese New Year Day is an occasion where we also remember God, where we want to worship Him. And I thank the Lord that you have found it needful to come tonight to seek the Lord and to worship Him, despite your busy schedule and visitation. You have come here to visit the Lord because you're thankful to Him for His goodness. And so during this Chinese New Year Day, we want to thank the Lord. We want to remember Him. We want to worship Him for all His goodness. And surely the Lord is good to us, to all those who seek Him. For the Lord has promised, when we seek Him, we will find Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have we not tasted the Lord's goodness this past year? I'm sure we have. My constant prayer to the Lord is that the Lord may grant me good health and strength. I don't ask and I don't wish for fame or wealth or power or any of these things. But just, Lord, give me good health and strength and wisdom to serve Thee. That's my prayer. And recently, I went for a medical checkup. I've never done it before, but my wife insisted that I go. And so went to see the doctor, and the good doctor drew blood, which must be sent for testing. So the results came out. Well, thank God that it was a good result, although there were minor glitches, but no need for any medication. So I thank the Lord for good health and be able to stand before you this evening to share with you God's Word. I'm sure you also experience God's goodness in your life. And He has heard and He has answered your prayers, and you are grateful to Him. The Lord is our deliverer, isn't He? And this psalm is a psalm of providence. It's a psalm of providence. And the doctrine of providence is a most wonderful doctrine. And if you will understand the doctrine of providence, it will give you great joy and peace and comfort in your heart and in your mind, to know that our God is the living and true God who is in absolute control of the world and of our lives. What is providence, you ask? Well, let me quote from the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5 and paragraph 1. And here in the Westminster Confession tells us what is providence. It says here, God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least. By His most wise and holy providence, according to His infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel — immutable means unchangeable — immutable counsel of His own will, and to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. And here we see God's providence.
And firstly, from verses 1 to verse 5, we see God's special providence. God's special providence. When we talk about God's providence, we are simply saying that God is on the throne and He is in control. He is in control. Absolute control. Nothing in this world happens by chance. There is no such thing as an accident. Everything is planned by God. Everything is predestined. Everything is foreordained by God. And if we are His children, God takes special care of us. And nothing can befall us that will lead to our ultimate destruction. Because all who believe in the Lord will ultimately gain salvation. The Lord has promised. And God will keep His promises. And that's why over here in Psalm 65 and verse 1, it begins with praise. When we consider God's providence, when we consider God's special care on His children, the first thing that should cause us to do is to praise the Lord. And so in verse 1 it says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." Praise in Zion. Praise in the nation of Israel for the living and true God, Jehovah Himself, the covenant Lord. And the same praise comes out of the lips of His children who are in the church. His chosen people. Praise in Zion. And why do we praise Him? Well, it's not because our life has no difficulties or hardships or obstacles or struggles, no grief, no pain. No, we experience all these things in life, even evil things and bad things, right? And yet we know from Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things, meaning both good things as well as evil things. Everything that we experience in our life will result in our good and would bring glory to the Lord. And that is the most comforting thought. And if you can understand this and you can by faith believe on this, it will cause you to praise the Lord. Not to complain, not to murmur, not to question, not to doubt God, but to praise Him. And this is because God keeps His promises. You see, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. God performs His vows. He keeps His promises. And our God never breaks His promises. Never trust in man, because man is changeable. And man will disappoint us. Man will make us miserable. Man will fail us. But when we trust in the Lord, who is unchangeable, and He always keeps His promises, then we will be uplifted. Then we will have confidence in our lives. Always living in dependence on Him, not on others, not on ourselves. And then we can keep our sanity. And our hearts also will be secured. You know, this world, there are many things in this world that can drive people insane. How to have a sane mind? Well, know this God. This God who is in control. And when we surrender our lives to Him and entrust upon Him all our cares, and our worries, our needs. He will bless us with His joy and His peace. And He will keep us sane, having a sound mind and a heart resting securely on Him. Have you experienced this? Do you experience this in your life? Have the Lord blessed you with His joy and peace in difficult, troublous days that you have gone through this year? I pray that your life with the Lord is such an exciting one. You live by faith, trusting in Him, and you will see how wonderfully He works for us. And because God keeps His promises, He keeps His vows, He also requires us to keep our vows to Him, our promises. And I've promised to serve the Lord with my life. I must keep that promise and must never look back. I put my hand to the plow. Cannot look back. I took an oath when I became a member of the FEBC faculty that I believe and I must defend and teach the infallible, inerrant Word of God, 100% perfect without any mistake. I cannot break this vow. No matter how much people may scoff and mock and go against and ridicule such a position, I must keep my vow, because if I don't, I will not be praising Him. We must praise the Lord. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Yes, we must perform our vows, because God performs His. And for those of us who are married, have we not also made a vow before God and man that we should be faithful to our spouse? Have we, in this world that we are living in, there's so much seduction, so much temptation, isn't it? And how many of us here live a life secretly, committing adultery and fornication? And if we have done that, how can we praise the Lord? We have not kept our vow. And it's no wonder that we feel so miserable. And if we are like that, dear friend, let us repent. Keep our vows. Keep our promises. And the Lord will heal us. Then we will begin to praise the Lord again with all our heart. And the Lord will bless us with His joy and His peace. Not only will we praise the Lord for His providence, special love and care for us, His children, we will also pray to Him. Verse 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Our God is a God who hears and answers prayers. The idols that are out there have eyes, can't see, ears they can't hear, mouth can't speak, hands that cannot work, and feet that do not move. But our God, the living and true God, who is Spirit, the Creator of heaven and earth, He sees. He hears, He speaks, He acts, He moves. And when we pray to Him, don't think that we are praying into the air. Really, our prayers, sincere ones, fervent ones, righteous ones, will ascend to the throne of heaven, and the Lord hears our prayers, the prayers of His saints. And what a privilege it is that we have as His children, that we can pray to Him and intercede for one another. And when we pray to the Lord, if we want our prayers to be heard, if we want our prayers to be answered, then what must we do? Well, verse 3 tells us that we must purge ourselves of all our sins. Verse 3 says, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Yes, in our Christian life, we face many struggles. We struggle with sin. Although we have been regenerated and born again, indwelt by the Spirit, the sin nature is still within us. And the sin nature will only be obliterated and removed when we receive our glorified body when the Lord Jesus returns. But right now, we struggle. We struggle. And sometimes iniquities do prevail against us. And we succumb, we fall. Is there any rescue or deliverance when we fall in sin? The answer is yes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please never, never say, my sins are so great, my sins are so big, that God cannot forgive me. No, no matter how great our sins may be, our God is so powerful, He can forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so precious, so valuable, and so powerful. All our sins, no matter what they might be, can all be washed away. If only we'll ask the Lord to purge our sins away for us by confessing our sins and repenting of our ways. And then we will be restored. Then we will worship Him. Then when we pray to Him with clean hands and pure hearts, He will hear and He will answer our prayers. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Yes, when we praise the Lord, we pray to Him, we purge ourselves of all our sins and get right with God, we will be a blessed man indeed. And we are blessed men when we belong to the Lord. We are His chosen ones. We are His elect. Are you an elect child of God? No one can come to God except God draws him. Are you someone whom God has drawn? And if the Lord has drawn you to Himself, and you have become His child, you're the most blessed man on earth. And surely, we want to make sure this evening that we belong to this category of people on earth that are blessed. And you are a blessed one if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. He was crucified and buried, and on the third day He rose from the dead. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you know you are one of the elect whom God has chosen. Are we His children or are we not? So we pray to the Lord. And the promises of God are always yes and amen, not maybe. And we have an all-powerful God who knows all things. And He knows what we need. Many a time, we do not know what we need. We think we need this. And then we pray to the Lord. And we pray, Lord, Thy will be done. And He will fulfill His will in our lives and give us precisely what we need, even beyond what we think and ask for. Now, this is the kind of God that we have. But for those who rebel against the Lord, there's only judgment. In verse 5 we read, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. No, those who rebel against God, who will not submit to His authority, and those who not only rebel against God, but oppress His children, oppress the believers, His saints, will face His wrath. No question about it. And here the terrible things. The terrible things are indeed terrifying things. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the Lord will deal with the wicked. And He will deal with the wicked and the evil man with terrible things. And these terrible things can come by way of disasters, natural disasters, right? The floods, the typhoons, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the volcanic eruptions, the tsunami. All these things can bring terrible destruction to our lives. And the Lord controls the weather of the world. And sometimes the weather is used by Him. The natural forces are used by Him to execute His wrath and His judgment upon this sin-cursed world and upon wicked men. So these are terrible things that the psalmist spoke of. And he will exercise such justice and judgment using terrible things in righteousness. God is righteous in sending such evil upon men to judge him and to punish him. And so it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And may none of us ever fall into the punitive will of God. For it is indeed terrifying. We think of Herod the Great. Remember Herod the Great, who tried to kill the baby Jesus, and he massacred all the babies 2 years and below, hoping that among these babies massacred, Jesus would be killed because he was born King of the Jews. And that happened in 5 BC. When did Herod the Great die? Just the next year. In 4 BC he died. He came under the punitive will of God, and God judged him so soon after he died. Another case of Herod Agrippa. Herod Agrippa the First. And he executed the Apostle James. And he imprisoned Peter, wanting to execute Peter the next day, because he saw that this pleased the Jews. But the Lord delivered Peter by a miraculous hand, sending the angel to open the prison doors. And then shortly after, Herod Agrippa glorified himself as God. And what happened to him? God judged him. He was eaten up by worms. Dropped dead immediately. And was eaten up by worms. Are these not terrifying things? Indeed, these are terrifying things. And the Lord hears and answers the prayers of His saints, those who rebel against God, and those who persecute and oppress His people will face such judgment, terrifying judgments from God. So be very afraid. And that's God's special providence on us as children. Does He protect us? Is He a God of justice? Yes, He protects us. He will deliver us. And He is a God of justice. And His judgment is always righteous. So vengeance is mine, God says. Vengeance is mine. Don't take matters into our own hands. Commit all injustices to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And when God begins to act, it is indeed terrifying. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And then from verses 8 to 13, we find another aspect of God's providence. This time, His general providence. You have His special providence. His special providence is His control over the lives of His children, right? Of His people. His special care and love for them. And He protects and preserves them. That is His special providence. And then the second part of the psalm, from verses 8 to 13, speaks of His general providence, His control over this whole world, the whole universe, His creation. And this involves His providence even upon unbelievers. In verse 8, we read of God's presence and power. God's presence and power. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. So God's presence and power is not confined only to a small area, or to one region. God's power and presence is universal. It extends to every part, even the remotest part, to the uttermost part. And the tokens here that the psalmist mentioned are signs. Signs of His power, signs of His working in this world, in nature. So all the, you know, this weather phenomenon that we are getting, the rain that we have been receiving, unusual weather all over the world, is it by chance? Not by chance. This global warming is not by chance. God has ordained it and God is in control. And this global warming is a warning. Warning that this world will only get warmer and warmer. Hotter and hotter. Until the day when judgment by fire comes. Some people think that, oh, with this global warming and the melting of the ice caps and the ice sheets, this whole world will be flooded again. Will be flooded. No, it won't happen. A global flood will never happen again. It happened once before. And God set the rainbow. And He will keep His promise. I will not destroy this whole world again by flood. So no matter what the environmentalists or the weather scientists might say, the possibility of another ice age or global deluge, it will not happen. What will happen is global destruction by fire. That is what is happening. And the global warming points to that judgment to come. And so we better repent. These are signs and tokens of God's working in this world, telling the world, I am active, I'm alive, I know what you're doing. You're becoming more and more wicked and evil. And this world is about ripe for judgment. And if you don't repent, you'll be destroyed. And then verses 9 to 11 says this, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, and Thou hast so provided for it. Yes, although our God is a God of judgment, and He punishes the wicked in the world, and unbelievers, yet at the same time He is a good God and He is a merciful God. He is a compassionate God, that He even provides for the needs of the unbelievers, those who even go against Him. And so here in verses 9 to 11, we are told that God provides water. He not only provides rain or water for the farmer, because water is very important for cultivation. And He gives water not only to His children, the believers, He also gives water to the unbelievers. And this is God's common grace, His general providence. And by this He shows His mercy, His compassion, hoping that men will see how good a God He is and would turn from their wicked ways and believe on Him. He is indeed a good God. And not only does He supply water for the cultivation of crops for both believer and unbeliever, but He also provides pasture for the herder, those who are into animal husbandry. And God also provides grass for their cattle and for their sheep. Yes, all these things come from God. God is not sleeping. God is very much awake. God is not passive. He is very active. And He is still watching over the world, providing for this world, governing this world, and taking care of it, maintaining it. And if only man will see that, yes, this God is a good God. And although I don't deserve all these physical blessings from Him, rain, water, grass, food that He provides, I don't deserve it because I do not believe in Him. I rebel against Him. And if they could only see how good this God is, even giving bread to those who are His enemy, they ought to repent and really tell God, "Lord, indeed, I'm undone. And if I don't believe in You, surely I deserve the lake of fire." That's why on the last day, when those who refuse to believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and when they come and stand before the judgment of the great white throne, they have no excuse, because they can see how good God has been to them, how long-suffering and patient He has been towards them. And even His judgments and punishments upon them is a means of grace to cause them to realize how wicked and destructive their ways are and repent. And if they don't do it at the very end, they only have themselves to blame. They have no excuse whatsoever. And on that day, even unbelievers, the reprobate, the finally impenitent, will have to praise and glorify the name of God. "God, You are indeed just. I am unjust. Now that I stand before You, faithless, because I did not believe on You when I was on earth, when You showed me Thy grace. Yes, I deserve the lake of fire." Nobody will argue against God. But the good news is offered to you right now. There is time to repent. May we repent of our sins. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to Him. And this God of providence will not only shower upon you His general providence, but He will shower upon you His special providence. He will take particular care of you throughout your life, even until the very end when He returns. And nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you. Even Satan cannot hurt you unless he gets permission from God. And even if the Lord allows Satan a free hand in afflicting you, yet out of it all, you will experience His reward and His goodness if we keep faithful to Him, if our faith is genuine and we are truly His children. The example of Job is a case in point. And so may the Lord help us. And you know, when we see our country, Singapore, do we not see God's general providence, general care and love for our nation? Singapore is not a Christian nation. It is a multi-religious nation, right, of all races. And yet the Lord has prospered our country. Is it because of the hard work of the people? Yes, it is due to the industry of Singaporeans and the good leadership that we have. But ultimately it is God, His common grace, that has granted to our leaders that kind of a wisdom and knowledge and foresight. And He has granted us the ability and the strength to work hard and to profit and gain and to enjoy all these things. Is it not? This is God's general providence. And for us who are believers, right now, oh, we see even more of God's grace and special providence. Even in many, many small things, God takes care of us. And you know, here we have special providence and general providence. And special providence and general providence can only be possible if we have a God who is all-powerful. And that was what the psalmist is trying to get at in the middle part of the psalm. You know, the psalm is beautiful poetically, not only in terms of its parallelism, right, in the verses, but in the whole psalm we see beauty, pattern, and structure. In the middle of the psalm, in verses 6 and 7, we are told of what kind of God that we have. What kind of God do we have? This God who is a God of providence. God, our God, is a God of providence because He is all powerful, because He is omnipotent. If he is not all-powerful, he is not omnipotent, he cannot be a God of providence. He cannot be in absolute control. But we see here that God is in absolute control, not only generally in the whole world, but specifically and particularly and especially in our own individual lives, especially believers' lives. And he is able to control and be in charge, and nothing happens by chance. There's no such thing as accident or luck, because he is all powerful. Verse 6 and 7, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas and noise of their waves and the tumult of the people. Okay. So that is the central foundation of it all, that brings both general and special providence together. We have such a God, an all-powerful God. What is God, you ask? Are you able to answer that question? Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Do you know this God? This is the God of the Bible, the God of providence, all-powerful, all-knowing. And we can trust him completely. And there's one reason why we believe that this book that God has given to us, and it's from this book that we know who this God is and how we can be saved, can be nothing short but the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God. For God has not only perfectly inspired this Word, he has also perfectly preserved his Word. And the special providential preservation of the Scriptures and the verbal plenary preservation of his words are all based upon this fundamental fact that our God is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible for him. If God can inspire his words without any error, surely he can preserve his words throughout the ages, that today, his people are in no way shortchanged or less privileged, but we have the very same word that the apostles had. We have the very same word that the prophets had. We have the very same word that Jesus had when he was on earth. We have the very same word that Moses had back in his day. Based on what? Based on the fact that he's all-powerful and he's a God of providence. What a wonderful doctrine we have. And indeed, this Chinese New Year has a lot of things I can thank the Lord for. You know, Chinese New Year is a time when we visit our relatives and our friends. And during Chinese New Year, we would visit my relatives from my father's side as well as mother's side. And each time when we visit our relatives, we would want to share the gospel and talk about spiritual things. And we pray for them. It's a wonderful time. And the God of providence, does he work? His word will not return unto him void. And we thank the Lord that, you know, as the years go by, and the Lord does hear our prayers, and he does bless our efforts, and one by one, you know, I see my uncles, my aunts, my cousins getting converted, believing in the Lord, getting baptized. And not only that, each time nowadays when we come together as for family reunion, you know, it's no more this empty chatter or just eat and then enjoy ourselves. In the past, after eating, time for gambling, blackjack, you play. So empty, so meaningless. Now, when we come together after eating, you know, and before we eat, we pray. We ask for God's blessing. And while we eat and have fellowship with one another and true fellowship, we talk about spiritual things. So just last night, my uncle says, I'm studying the book of Romans now. Do you have any commentary for me that you can recommend? I say, yes, I have. And I will send it to you.
What a wonderful thing. And this is only possible because God's promise is true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. God keeps his promises. And when we pray to him and we do his will and his work, God also begins to work. Not our work, his work. The work of converting our souls and the souls of our loved ones. It is his work. As much we can thank the Lord for. May the Lord be praised and blessed. And may you never, never doubt and question this God that we have. Know him and know him well. And you can trust him fully. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank the Lord. We thank thee for thy goodness in our lives. And surely you have blessed us beyond what we can ask and pray for. And we want to glorify thy name. Bless every one of thy children here with joy and thy peace. And may thou, O Lord, continue to take control of our lives and provide for our every need, to the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.